Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. Before they started growing hemp, Sunset Lake Farms produced cream for Ben & Jerry's. Sunset Lake CBD doesn't use any pesticides or herbicides to grow any of its hemp plants, and they use organic fertilizer and other sustainable farming techniques to ensure the long-term health of the soil and to minimize their carbon footprint. So like all of us, my days are really stressful. By the end of the night, my kids are in bed, I'm taking a minute to chill, but I'm still unwinding. I recently started using the Relax Gummies infused with CBD isolate, reishi mushroom extract, and ashwagandha root extract. I'm really glad I tried these because they really helped me get ready for a good night of sleep, and I really think I sleep better, so I'd highly recommend it. Check out Sunset Lake CBD today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code UNDERMINE for 20% off your order. That's sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code UNDERMINE for 20% off your order. Farmer-owned, Vermont-grown, Sunset Lake CBD. Hey listeners, I want to tell you about Music Masters Collective, a nonprofit organization that produces unique music events, providing opportunities for fans and artists to meet and collaborate in an inspired and creative atmosphere. These events give you the opportunity to learn from world-class musicians like the Fab Four, Steve Earle, Richard Thompson, John Scofield, Nels Klein, the Milk Carton Kids, and many more. This June, join the Wait Band, featuring members of the band and the Levon Helm Band with special guests, including Jimmy Vivino, Bob Margolin, Lost Leaders, Chris O'Leary, Cindy Cashdollar, Stony Creek Band, Rob Fraboni, Larry Packer, and so many more at Camp Cripple Creek. This all-inclusive music vacation in the Catskill Mountains of upstate New York promises to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience featuring performances, workshops, jams, comfortable lodging, and superb dining. Visit campcripplecreek.com/undermine to register today. That's campcripplecreek.com/undermine.
Osiris.
Well, it's finally here. The highly anticipated limited edition Smart Wool and Grateful Dead collection has finally dropped exclusively at smartwool.com.
You may know Smart Wool as the go-to brand for all things merino wool, from socks to base layers. Smart Wool has been keeping people comfortable outside for decades with some of the softest and ethically sourced merino wool out there.
Well, Smart Wool's limited edition collection and collaboration with the Grateful Dead is back by popular demand right in time for the holidays.
From t-shirts and hoodies to beanies and socks, now you can have the next level comfort of Smart Wool with all your favorite iconic Grateful Dead designs. Shop the drop exclusively at smartwool.com and get it before it's gone for good. Gone, gone. Gone for good. That's Smartwool, SmartWool.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this special episode of Undermine. My name's RJ. I'm here with Tom and Benji. And this episode is brought to you by our partners at Smart Wool. You can check out the Smart Wool Grateful Dead collection at smartwool.com. Okay, so guys, today we're going to talk about a fish comfort song. So, you know, you're in your Smart Wool base layers. We have our Grateful Dead socks on. We're sitting by a fire. We're going to talk about
we're
a song
very
that
warm.
We would...
We're very warm.
Incredibly warm. But in those moments, you really need a song to kind of like bring it all together. So I'm going to go first, and then I want to ask you guys. So to me, like, Harry Hood is just, to me, the ultimate comfort song. We've talked about it on the podcast before. The last time that we talked about... I forget what show it was, but we were talking about it, Benji, because we were talking about, you know, whether... them telling you to feel good about Hood, do you need them to tell you to be able to feel good about Hood? And I kind of think you do, because there's something so beautiful. I think for me, it goes back to a live one, you know, like it's one of the things that I listen to it would listen to the CDs, and it just like, it's just such a, I actually remember a time, like, I don't know, it must have been, when did it come out? 95? A live one? Sometime in 95. So it was probably, it was probably summer of 95. And it was one of my first experiences with psychedelics. And I was out in a field with my friends, and we listened to the Alive One version of Harry Hood. And I think that was probably the moment that it just like all, it all kind of changed for me. But I mean, come on, like what's a more comforting thing than going on a long Harry Hood adventure? I mean, you guys might have thoughts, but that's what comes to mind first for me.
I think more comforting maybe just would be Smart Wool socks.
And just leave the fish, just leave no music. It's fair. Tom,
I feel good about Hood.
Yeah. Tom, you have written, according to the internet, I'm not sure if this is verified, but you've written hundreds of songs. So is this hard? Is this a hard exercise for you?
To come up with a comforting fish song?
Yeah.
You know, people ask me my favorite fish song, and it's usually one that I didn't write, but this one, most comforting song, I came up with a song that I did write, and it's Brian and Robert. And so this is a song for lonely people, and lonely people need comfort. I was thinking, like, was this written when I was feeling particularly lonely or something? But not really. It's probably just a wistful moment, because looking back, I was married with young kids, and I don't think I had much time for loneliness. However, I did. When I went off to college, I went off to Pittsburgh. I hadn't ever seen Carnegie Mellon, and I didn't know anyone there. And I did. I had my first like bout of depression in my life, thankfully my only, and extreme loneliness. So maybe I was thinking about that. But this song made me feel, I guess, like in a way, you know, reaching out to others who may be feeling that way, letting people know they're not alone. You know, this one is for you. And I think I get comfort from that knowledge, but also from the soothing chords and the soothing background vocals. Trey, you know, put in there the ooh, ooh, and then the melody, and then the harmony that comes in with the third verse. Just love the song.
That's a really good pick. And, you know, they don't play it that much, but I'm sure that do you have particular memories of live versions that you loved? I mean, I'm sure that whenever you're there and they play it, that's cool for you, but they don't play it very much.
Yeah, actually it was a staple of my, the early version of my band Amphibian, which started in 1999. So this was still a new song. We played it every night whenever we would play a live show. But then I took a long hiatus. I mean, Amphibian's been gone since 2006, I think, 2007. But I just recently got a chance. RJ, you were there that night. I recently got to perform it on stage with the two members of Goose who play guitar, Rick and Peter. And also Jeff was on stage too.
Yeah.
And they learned the harmonies so well. I think if we can get the Osiris control room to dig into the archives and play it right now. I hear it in the background. I'll shut up so we can hear it briefly.
You kind of paved the way for Trey then.
How's that?
With Goose.
Many people are saying that. Many people are saying that. Actually, when the Tab Goose tour was announced, someone tweeted, Tom and RJ introduced Trey to Goose, and now here we are. And I didn't refute that, even though it's probably not true.
Beat them to the punch.
Yeah, exactly. But that was a really special night, Tom, when we got to interview Rick and Peter, and they played a bunch of songs for us. Was it your idea or their idea to play that song? Do you remember?
That was my idea. I was thinking of one that would showcase their great singing and one that we could learn and practice. I knew we'd have about 10 minutes that we could rehearse. I knew we'd be able to get it right with one rehearsal, and we did. And those guys obviously are super pros. So it came off really well, and they immediately, you know, they're so good at singing together and playing together. It was fantastic. And it was very comforting, I should say.
That is the idea. Benji, what do you have for us?
Well, RJ, Tom, it's probably not what you were thinking of when you said comfort song. Although, RJ, you know, your pick was Harry Hood, and this is the same, but it's kind of like if you asked me my favorite comfort food and I said Jameson, you know. But I think about my personal history with the MoMA dance. I think about, you know, dancing in parking lots. And I don't mean like, you know, fish parking lots. I mean like when it first came out and my friends and I would have it on our car stereo and like, you know, like at Denny's or a Dunkin' Donuts parking lot or whatever. And would be dancing to it. You know, back then it was because it was brand new. You know, it came out, obviously, MoMA Dance came along from Black Eyed Katie, which we've been detailing on this season of Undermine, as the kind of the encapsulation of cow funk. Which is a term that for me also included the rural cow farms of Amish country and Hershey, PA, and the areas where I grew up, you know, and I would wander back in those days, kind of like Neil Cassidy hitchhiking his way across America and the constellations. There's this fantastic quote from Plato that says, when the mode of the music changes, the walls of the city shake. And, you know, to me, that was kind of MoMA dance in 1998, right? The walls of the city were shaking. But a decade later, the girl that I had been dating with, dating for 7 years left me. And, you know, the relationship had stopped working years earlier and there was no way to fix it. And we both knew it, but it still broke my heart, you know, as all change does. And I remember thinking, you know, it was one of those things I could order for her at any restaurant in the world and get it right, because that's how well we knew each other. And so all of a sudden that changes. And I'm in New York City for a few days. I'm walking on foot. I have headphones on with a Discman. Kids, ask your parents what that is. And MoMA dance comes on. All throughout, I gaze and glimpse you. Loving never did convince you. So that got my attention because of the muscle memory. My cells are trained to dance when MoMA dance comes on. Tom, you joked recently that you imagine MoMA dance to have some choreography to it. I'm telling you, man, that is literally the beat that taught me how to dance my dance. So I start doing that on the sidewalk of the Lower East Side. So no one cares because it's the Lower East Side, you know, and no one really notices or pays attention. And that's when the song hit me in an entirely new way. It might be the way that was kind of closer to what the lyrics intended. You know, the moment ends, though I feel winds blowing differently than ever before. It was instructive. It was just, you know, I knew right then and there everything was going to be okay. A 7-year moment just ended, but I would be feeling the winds from it for quite some time in a positive way. You know, it's time to evolve. The moment ends, though I feel winds. And just immediately, I'm talking instantly, it healed my broken heart. Suddenly, you know, I was on to the new, on to the next, let the past be wind in the sails for the future. And so to this day, this is true. To this day, this song is my spoonful of sugar. You know, and what I mean by that is when I have to suffer something insufferable, like a dentist appointment or, you know, say a colonoscopy, I put on MoMA dance, sometimes on the headphones, but sometimes I just have it in my head and it helps me get through literally any situation. It's my blanket. It's my good luck charm. It's my comfort song.
That is awesome. That's a great story. Tom, do you have just lyrically like any thoughts on what Benji was saying? I mean, every song is like interpretation to, you know, the listener, but I'm just curious.
Well, just the way that he interpreted that about new winds filling his sails and change, I thought that was awesome. And I'm glad, Benji, that I helped pen your comfort song.
Yeah, you mended my broken heart. How sweet. Thanks.
And I'm also glad that you actually know, you might be the only one who knows the MoMA dance.
That's right. And I'll tell you what, it goes a lot better with Smart Wool.
Speaking of, thank you to Smart Wool for supporting the show and for letting us do this bonus episode. We're going to be back with one more of these and we're going to continue this conversation. So thanks, Tom and Benji. Talk to you guys soon.
Osiris.
Hey you, do you have any plans this year? How's that going? Did you get 2020? Well, welcome to a brand new podcast called 2020, where myself, Benny Goodman, And my good friends Corey Pazin and Siobhan Cronin from the band Lost Symphony also got 2020.
And since the world ended this year, we decided why not just check in with some of our friends in the music industry and see how everyone's doing.
We're going to get a candid look at life on and off the stage, as well as the mindset of some of the most successful people in the entertainment industry.
New episodes drop every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you can listen at 2020-D.com, SoundTalentMedia.com, or on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.